Good morning, everyone. We are going to get started today. Excuse me. This is Q&A. So we are going to be doing a little bit of Q&A. But one of the main things that I want to do is also go over data. So today is going to be, we're going to kick off with talking about data. So if you are participating in the two pound takedown, this is week one, and we are going to talk all about just how do you use your data? How do you not make it mean that you're a failure? How do you not overly rely on it for your self-worth? Because one of the things that I think is important when it comes to data is to realize that when you're thinking about like the things that you're collecting, so how many times you've overate, how many discovery worksheets you're doing, your scale weight, your measurements, how many times, if you're an exerciser, how many times you exercise, you know, did you follow your schedule? When you're thinking about all the different things, it's very easy to take the data and tie it to your self-worth. So you get your numbers and you make the numbers mean something about you. And that's not what we want to do with data. We want to take the numbers and we want to make it mean something about the process, the places that need to be worked on, the places that are going well. And then we take all of that and we consciously decide what we're going to make it mean about ourselves. So for instance, let's say that you've got data and let's say a couple of weeks that you, I'll give you a good example. Back in the day when I was losing weight, I had a really long period where I didn't lose weight. It was about 6 weeks and it literally, I was doing the things like I was working out. I was showing up each day like I said I would. I was being very deliberate and conscious about the decisions that I was making. I was doing all kinds of things and I'd get on the scale and it was not moving. I was probably, it was right around the 200 pound mark and I was working harder than I probably ever worked in my life. I was talking to myself differently. I was challenging myself to, you know, decide if I needed to keep eating fast food as much as I was eating. Like I was just doing all kinds of things. And so I remember the day, and I know you've heard this story, but I got on the scale and all of a sudden all my old thinking came rushing in. Like for the few weeks before that, I was really riding high on the idea of you're working so hard on yourself. You're doing so good. I'm so proud of you. Like I was really aware of telling myself like the things that I was trying for the first time, like how proud I was of myself for, you know, actually going to the grocery store instead of going to the McDonald's, to, you know, buying the things that were on my list versus just putting shit in my cart. Like I was so proud of myself for the different things. Well, naturally, after 6 weeks, my brain hit a tipping point with my data. And my data triggered the thought of, you're never going to lose weight. And if you're going to work this hard, you might as well fucking be eating. Like it came out. Like there it was. I hadn't had those thoughts in a few weeks. I hadn't had those thoughts in a while. But 6 weeks of the scale not moving was just enough to trigger the part of me that was afraid I couldn't lose weight to offer up, you might as well eat. And I remember in that moment telling myself, no, this is not how we think. Like that is exactly what I used to think. And that is why I quit every diet. That is why I never lost all my weight for good. That is why that, like, you know, like I was having to work at it one more time. It was that thinking that led me to not succeeding. And I think this is important because it would have been real easy for me to sit and think that something was wrong with me and that because the scale wasn't cooperating, that's why I felt bad. That's why I wasn't getting my results. It was a pivotal moment for me to realize it's my thinking that always gets me my results. It's my thinking that always gets me to do or do not do the things that I need to do to lose weight. In that moment, I had to be really willing to say to myself, that's old thinking, as believable as it sounds, as true as it sounds, the scale is telling you it's true, everything is screaming, your old bullshit that you can't lose weight and you might as well eat, everything is pointing in the direction of that's true. But just because it's all pointing in that direction, are you going to believe it? Are you going to decide that that's helpful? Are you going to decide that we're going to respond based on that? Or are you going to take this road over here? Which we also know is true, that the only way to lose weight is to not quit. Like deciding to fuck it, eat because of the scale, we intellectually know that does not work. We've tried it 1,000 times in the past and just regained our weight. So that's not true either. I had to like decide in that moment that what I was doing for myself was important enough to keep doing, because it would make sense that as long as I kept going in the direction of figuring it out, tweaking data, and not eating my face off over it, that there had to be weight loss to be seen. That would only make sense. It's like, y'all, it's easy to doubt yourself. That's the easiest thing to do. To sit around and whine that you've never lost weight, that's so simple. It takes no energy from you. Your habit brain is just like, yeah, let's just think all that bullshit you always think. The hardest part of weight loss is allowing yourself to consciously tell yourself new things and get to work on the new things until it all starts clicking into place. So I want all of you to really think about that when it comes to your data. You have the opportunity to make it. The data defines the process. It tells me what parts of the process to zero in on, tells me what parts of the process to amplify. It tells me everything I need to know about the process. And when I keep working on the process, as long as I believe that I will keep working on the process, I don't have to believe I'm going to lose all of my weight. I don't have to believe a lot of stuff yet. But can I at least believe that I'm willing to work on these things? Am I at least willing to believe that I'll ask questions when I get stuck? Like, this is the thing about believing if you can lose weight. It's not so much you need to believe that you can lose all the weight. It's, can you believe in yourself just today to leave a bite behind? That's how we start practicing small beliefs. That's how you get good at challenging yourself and doing small things. So, well, I want to talk about data, but before we get started, since everybody's still pouring in, let me put my glasses on so I can't see shit. Coach Kara, I'm going to bring you up now. So Coach Kara will be in the Q&A and inside of the chat. She'll be answering some of the questions. And what she will do is she will save me some questions that pertain to data. Because today I'd like to keep everything very focused on just a couple things. Data. And if you happen to have any questions about camp, because camp is rolling. We just shipped. If you're international, your swag boxes started shipping yesterday, I believe. So that's exciting. If you are signing up for in-person camp and you had a problem getting a hotel room, they have fixed our link for our block so that more of you can stay at the hotel. So we are extending the hotel link until this Friday. So if you're coming in person and you want to stay at the host hotel, I highly recommend that you go ahead and sign up now, because you're going to want to stay at the hotel if possible. We just have a lot of fun over there. Kind of like, it's kind of a party, and you never know when you're going to see me walking around, the coaches walk around, we do all kinds of stuff. And yes, there are still boxes available for virtual camp. So if you're registering for virtual, your boxes will start going out next week. I believe they start shipping next Monday or Tuesday, and we have plenty of boxes. So right now we have plenty. So just make sure that if you're going to come and you want your swag, that you go ahead and get registered. Also, the last thing I wanted to say is, on this Friday at 6 p.m. Central Time, We have added a surprise Facebook Live type call for all of you. This is very informal. I am going to have a glass of wine. I'm going to be in your, either in your newbie Facebook group or in the regular Facebook group. So I'll be in both places. No one will miss me. And I'm just going to be sharing like my thoughts about camp, like why you should come if you've been coming to the other ones. Like a lot of you have been asking what makes this camp different from the others. Every camp is unique. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how I wrote it and why I wrote it the way I did and why I thought it was so important for all of you. I'm also like, if you have any questions about camp, and probably just share some of my favorite camp memories. A lot of you don't know the history of camp and how it started with me. And I had 25 online clients when I first started that I worked with an email. And I just threw it out to them one day and just said, what if we all got together in Nashville and y'all stay at my house? I had pullout couches and guest rooms and all kinds of stuff. And I was like, y'all can stay at my house and we'll work out for 3 days and we'll just talk all things weight loss. And so I'm going to share a little bit about how that was literally how camp was born. And it has been a tradition at No BS ever since. So we will do that Friday night at 6 p.m. So if you want to have a glass of wine with me, you want to have a carbonated fizzy water, whatever you want to do, and you just want to hang out and listen to me be relaxed and chit chat, you're more than welcome to attend on Friday night. All right. So let's see. Don't forget that if you're participating in a 2 pound takedown, that you are either going to be on team 2 a week, 2 a month, or 2 my way. My team is also doing it. So some of my team are the leads for you guys. So they're posting. All you have to do in order to participate is use share what you're doing in the Facebook group, and you just use the hashtag 2 a week, 2 a month, or 2 my way. And so we're just having a lot of fun with it. If you are not on Facebook and you want to participate and have a good time with us, you absolutely can do that. If you want to email us your wins and what's going on for you, you can email us at support@pnptribe.com. You never know when we might feature you in the newsletter. And then your results also at the end of the month will count. So nobody has to sign up for this. This is just something fun that we're all doing together. If you go to the self-study resources on nobiaswomen.com, there is a guide, there is a checklist, there is all the things that are going to help you with doing the 2 pound takedown. And at the end of the month, we'll have everybody take a survey so that we can figure out how much weight we lost as a membership. The NoBS team is going to tell you how much we lost as a team. And then we're going to be doing 10 never seen before swag boxes as prizes. So if you participate, you fill out the survey, 10 of you will get an amazing NoBS swag box, not the camp swag box, but just full of special things that that I would love to gift 10 of the winners who participate all month long. All right. I want to give some Facebook team highlights. So we have Maddie E of Team 2 a Week. This is the first time in 4 months of No BS I look at data and analyze it without being judgmental. Talking nicely to myself and feeling exciting for what's coming. Plan some self-care activities like going out, a movie date, 24 hours without social media. That's an amazing self-care. And things I want to have in my life. So it is not all about work. I'm feeling excited. Maddie, or I think it's Maddie, one of the most important things that she said, and I want all of you to hear this, is it took her 4 months to train her brain to look at the data and not automatically judge her. This is key when it comes to data. It's just like when I was telling you the story of me and losing weight. For a long time, I could look at data and my brain was kind of going to some good places. And then it triggered some old thoughts. When it comes to data, it doesn't matter if you actually have the old shitty thoughts. What matters is, are you going to actively work on changing them? Are you going to uncover them, write them down? Like one of the best exercises I ever do is like, I'll take something in my life that I'm having a hard time believing. I would give you like, well, I will tell you, one of the hardest things I ever had to work on believing was that Logan would be fine. Like, I would have bet my life that he wouldn't be fine when he got diagnosed. For years, no matter how hard we worked, no matter how much that baby was improving, all the things in my mind, not happening. And I had to work so hard on that belief for years. For years. And even to this day, with as many amazing things as he's done, I remember when I was at Life Coach School, when I was getting certified, I wrote my future self letter. And if you come to camp, you'll know that one of the things that we always do is we do future self letters. Most powerful exercise I ever did for myself. And so I always make sure you guys do it. And so I'm writing it. This was back in 2015. And this was the 25-year out letter, 25 years from now. And I wrote that I would make enough money as a life coach to take Chris and I on Vegas trips in 25 years. I wrote that Logan would graduate from high school and that we would be prepared for him to live with us the rest of our lives. That he would finally, here's a good one, he'd finally be able to have a conversation. Those were the things I was putting in my future self letter. Now, I'm just going to tell you guys, everything in that letter that I thought would take 25 years, when I actually started working on my beliefs, I have blown past them, and it's only been 6 years. So number one, when it comes to beliefs, you do not have to believe that everything's going to work out perfectly. You do not have to believe that. It's just like with me and Logan. I didn't need to believe he was going to go to college and he was going to get married. Like, I didn't have to believe something intangible, but what I could believe in, I put that down, and that gave me hope. And it is the same with your weight loss. You do not have to believe you can lose all of it. You don't even have to believe that you're going to look the way you want. You don't have to believe all that stuff. But you can find tangible beliefs. You can find tangible short-term ones. You can find ones that, like, you feel like, all right, that's doable for the future. May not be the ideal, but I can wrap my arms around it so I can start moving forward. Those things are possible. And your data is what triggers that. Your data triggers every false belief you have. It also triggers some of the beliefs you might be forming. So, like with Maddie and with me, and what I want to tell you guys is that, you know, your old judgmental thoughts, they're not there hampering you. The only way that the judgmental thoughts will stop you from getting any kind of progress is if you aren't listening to them. If you start ignoring them, if you try to hide from them, any of the thoughts that run in the background of your mind, when they're unrecognized, we just react to them all the time. It shows up in, like, we're eating and we don't know why we did it. Every night we say we're not going to eat a snack and yet we are. There's usually some kind of little belief sneaking around in there, like, well, you know, it's almost impossible not to eat at night. No, like little things like that. So using your data and taking a look at it on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, however often you like to look at your data, you know, your daily data from, like, did you follow your plan or not? Its job is to trigger your natural thinking. Because whatever your natural thinking is, it will tell you if you've got a belief that needs to be worked on or if you have a thought that's going to work for you. And if it's just something that you need to work on, that's good. That's not bad. That's not broken thinking. That's not something wrong with you. It's useful to know the things that I believe and the things that I think that aren't helping me. It's very good to know these things because once I know them, I can start unwinding them. All right. Vanessa of Team Two My Way. My primary do goal for the challenge is to do 2 journal entries and 2 models a day. Models are the think, feel, do cycle, y'all, that we just used to call it models. We're at September 6th today, and that means I've got 12 of these under my belt already. So she's already done 2 journal entries, and she's done 2 think and feel do cycles. You guys, I've covered so much ground in my journal in 6 days, it kind of blows my mind. And then Anne of Team 2 this month, traveling today, but that's not going to stop me from getting into this month's challenge. Old Chitty tried to say there was no way I could come up with 20 action goals to help me reach my goal. You know what? Old Chitty was wrong again. All right. So one of the things that we want to do when it comes to data is that the first thing is that you want to be looking at it. So you want, like, part of setting yourself up for success is making sure that you have a way to collect data. And there's 2 forms of data. There is the actual scale data, and inside your planner, you have the convenient weekly weigh-in and assessment. And using this lets you get your thoughts out about what you believe in your scale data. But that's just like, I think of the scale and the measurements as the same thing. This is just like physical body stuff. So there's a second form of data. I think it's the most important form of data because it's the data that will tell you, like, are you doing the things that can affect the scale and that can affect your measurements? And that is your do goal data. Do goal data is basically your habit tracker. So if you look inside your planner, you have your habit tracker. Anything that, so like when we kicked off this month, we did some planning and stuff. Your 20 do goals, you want to track those. So the ones that you decided you were going to do, you want to make sure you're tracking them. So a do goal is just like it sounds. I have a goal to do these things. Like, it's active things. It's not, I have a goal to weigh this much. It's, I have a goal to do 20 24-hour plans this month, knowing that last month I did 15. A do goal is where you're going to track the data of the things you are doing. I think that they're the most important ones to track because you got to take actions to lose weight. Everybody loves to set weight loss goals. They'll sit around, they'll think about weight loss goals. They'll sit around and think about how great it's going to feel. They'll do their why. You'll do a lot of work mentally around that. But what we forget to do is like, oh, we got to do goals around how we're going to show up and what we're actually going to be doing. And then we got to track the things we said we would be doing. And then when we're not doing them, then we need to figure out, why aren't we? What are the thoughts preventing us? So if I didn't do my 24-hour plan, what did I tell myself? What do I believe about the 24-hour plan? That's a great question for a lot of you this month, is think about your do goals. If you're not doing them, ask yourself something simple. Like, what are my top 5 thoughts about the 24-hour plan? You might start off with like, well, it's one of the 4 basics, and so I know it'll help me. But it might get to, well, I know it's helpful, but I really don't like restricting myself. That's an amazing thought to find. Because if you find that you think the 24-hour plan is restrictive, you know that you have a thought about the 24-hour plan that causes you to have restriction feelings. So it may be a sign of you thinking something along the lines of, everybody else can put food down that they want, but I can't. I've never been able to lose weight that way. That's how you start using the data to uncover a lot of the things that you believe that stop you from implementation. So you want to make sure that you're tracking your do goals, because those are the actions that get you the results. And then when you're not following through on what you said you would do, you want to ask yourself, what do I believe about the 24-hour plan? What do I believe about not eating but half my dinner? That's a good question for Lavi. I was just reading in the Facebook group this morning. Somebody had wrote this amazing post about how, I believe it was in the main group. So she's eating dinner. No, she's having breakfast. And I think it was breakfast. Anyway, she serves herself some breakfast and she gets potatoes. And she was like, and I put like a big mound of potatoes on my plate. And her husband looks at her and says, "No wonder you're overweight. Look how many potatoes you're eating." And she was hurt at first. And so like she, you know, was like hurt that he'd say that and all this stuff. But she was like, through that, she put back over half of them. I think she said, I left a third on my plate. And she was like, "Holy shit, I ate the third of potatoes and it was plenty." She was like, "I don't really love the way my husband said it, but he was right. I've been overeating. I've been serving myself too much." So she was like, all of a sudden, her belief that these are the portion sizes that are enough for her was just wrong. So for all of you thinking about, like, if you want to challenge yourself and eat less, so you just ask yourself, what do I believe is going to happen if tonight I eat less than what I normally do? Thoughts like, you'll get hungry. You won't be able to sleep. You'll wake up in the middle of the night starving. It won't be enough. What if this wrecks your metabolism? Like, we will think all kinds of things, but I want to challenge you to always believe every bit of that's just a thought. Maybe I won't get hungry. What if I slept through the night? What if I'm wrong that I'll be hungry in 2 hours? What if I'm wrong that I can get hungry right before I go to bed and just be like, oh, well, too close to bedtime now? Like, what if I'm wrong about all of it? That's how you start challenging things and beliefs that get you off your do goal game. But your data is what is your trigger. When you notice data that's out of alignment with what you say you want most, which is like, I want to lose weight, I'm going to do these things, challenge the thoughts that come up around it. Now, this is key. You can't make it personal. Just like in the beginning when I talked about, you've got to make it process oriented. For a lot of you, what will happen is you'll do this and you'll do your do goals and then you'll miss some of them. And then you'll start saying things like, I'm so fucking lazy. See, I can't lose weight. That's making it personal. You need to challenge those beliefs too. But if you want to lose weight faster, here's what I would do. I would just tell myself, I know I don't believe I can lose weight. And I know I think these things, but I'm just going to, for now, believe at least that is all of my thinking. I can work on that separately, but right now I just want to work on what could my data actually be telling me. Get into the process part of it without making it mean something bad about you. So I kind of like when I'm doing my own like work on my thoughts, I like to break things down into two big piles. There's the stuff that I think about Corinne. You can't do this. It's too hard for you. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. Like my typical stuff that comes up. There's all of the Corinne is a problem thoughts. Then there's this over here, which is like you'll get hungry. Like what if you get tired this afternoon? Like all of those thoughts, those are process things, process thoughts that you want to look at. I always think if we can overcome some of the process stuff, at least you can get into action. Then you can be working on your beliefs about you separately. All right. The other thing to think about when it comes to data is make sure that you're tracking in some way. Now, I know not everybody is a huge tracker. Not everybody is a numbers person. But for all of you that are numbers driven, you love lists and check boxes and all that kind of stuff, use it to your advantage. There is, so when we are not going to overeat, we are essentially going to be taking away dopamine. Dopamine is the hormone that makes you feel good. So we're removing the feel-good hormone, which means your brain was looking for that. And it's going to want it. So we got to find ways to give it a little bit of dopamine. Probably never going to match Oreos. Probably never going to match a half a gallon of Ben and Jerry's. But what we can do is we can find ways to give ourselves little hits of dopamine so our brain's not freaking out. A lot of times that comes down to like checking off things on your habit tracker. Like when you check things off, your brain gets a little dopamine hit. When you tell yourself at the end of the day, good job, like I really love how you, like think about if you were talking to an employee. Let's say that you have employees or you are an employee. What are the things that you would love someone to tell you about your day? This is also something really interesting for a lot of you who go through life wishing your boss, wishing your partner, wishing your kids, your mother, whoever would just say these words to you. I wish that they would recognize how hard I work. I wish that they would say these things. You need to ask yourself, am I saying those things to myself? Whatever I want the world to tell me, number one, do I believe that shit yet? If you want other people to tell you, then at least be 100% sure that you believe it. If not, quit waiting on them to tell you stuff. You start working on why that's true. Number two, whatever it is you want other people to say, it is incumbent upon you that before you expect somebody else to tell you that shit, that you're telling yourself that stuff way more than you think they should and way more than you tell yourself horseshit about yourself. When, like, let's say it's this seesaw. Over here is, I wish other people would say it and all my shitty beliefs about me. Over here is, here's all the things I wish people would say to me that I'm now telling myself. If this don't outweigh the bullshit, quit working on what other people think. If you are so worried about people pleasing and other people's opinions, then come to camp and I'll fix your ass. We got two full workshops, a whole half a day dedicated to those two topics. But stop sitting around expecting other people to tell you what you want to hear when you're not willing to tell yourself that on a regular basis. Because when you start telling yourself that on a regular basis, you get a dopamine hit. It starts to feel good. You start entertaining yourself with your own feelings. And guess what? You start losing interest on somebody else needing to say it because you're getting your tank filled. All right. So, everything you write or actively do inside of No BS creates data. So like your journal pages are going to create data. Your everything, like I want you to just like go through, like when you do worksheets, they usually collect data. That's data of your brain. So as you're going through No BS, I want all of you to do the worksheets that we give you. And I want to say this for everyone. There is no timeline on No BS. It is there for you till the end of time. If you want to go through it like Methuselah so that you really understand it and you do the worksheets and stuff, I think that's amazing. I have got a course that I bought a year and a half ago, and I am just now halfway through the videos. But every now and then I'm like, all right, here's time I have to pick back up. And I get in there because I'm real dedicated that when I do a course, I do the work involved because I know it makes a difference. And I will tell you, I have not sat around and thought how far behind I am. Everybody else took 12 weeks to go through it. I'm at a year and a fucking half. You know what I'm doing? Still got my access to the program. going through it and making my changes. And it's working. So it doesn't matter how fast you go through something, but go through it deliberately so that you get through the worksheets and stuff so that you have data. Like you, and this is the other thing I love about the No BS. I always encourage members to take it over every few months. I know we have plenty of fresh content for you, and you could never take No BS again and have all the content you would ever want and more. But I believe in that program so much that I recommend that you do it over and over again throughout your career here at No BS, and that you do the worksheets each and every time. And what I would do is I would save my worksheets so that the next time I do it, I can see how much I've changed. I can see where my thoughts have shifted. I can see what's different. I can see maybe I didn't believe this then and I believe it now. Maybe like I've like set aside a few beliefs. I don't believe those anymore, but new ones have come up, like new old shitties. It's always beneficial. And then making sure that you understand that when you track your data, this is the last thing that I want to tell you, is that it gives you the patterns that you need to start realizing. I think this is the most valuable part of data. This is the thing that I love looking at the most when it comes to data, is I like to look at it and say, like, all right, so like for me, one of the habits that I worked on for years was Chris and I, if I had a bad day, I finally figured out that I had a pattern of, if I had a bad day, that I would figure out a way to go on date night on a night that we didn't plan. So we would go to the bar, we'd have date night on like a Wednesday after a bad day. And then I had a pattern of feeling cheated on Friday when it was supposed to be date night because I'd blown it going out on a day that I was stressed, and I'd sat at the bar with Chris bitching about my day. And then by Friday, I wanted to connect with him. I wanted to have a real date night. So then I would add that, thinking I'd gotten cheated. And I noticed I was doing that. And it took me a long time to realize that I don't want to drink because of a bad day anymore. And it took writing and writing and writing about how shitty I'd feel the next day. Like, yeah, and you always end up, you're setting yourself up for regret and feeling cheated. You're like, you're not connecting to Chris. I had to like tell the real story of what was happening. And I had to do this for a little while before. I remember there was this one day I'd had a particularly hard day. Like, I'm just going to tell you, I'm just like the rest of you. It ain't just all like rainbows and daisies behind the scenes at the No BS. It's like every business. We got bills to pay. Shit goes wrong. Sometimes people aren't happy. Like, there's plenty of things to go around. So I'm sitting there, I have a particularly bad day, and I'm getting ready to text him from my office and say, hey, let's do date night tonight. And I literally sat there, and all of a sudden, this other part of my brain started popping up saying, yeah, but every week, all you've done is write in your journal about how you regret it. What else could we do tonight? And that was the moment that I needed. I needed a few months of writing about it and writing about it and telling the same story and stuff before it clicked in my brain. Oh, so when you want a stress drink, we should think this also, because you keep writing about it. I get it. That's what your brain does. So for all of you, it's important that you look for your patterns, and then the discovery worksheet will figure those out for you. You will start to see patterns, and you keep writing about like why I don't like the way I showed up. Like, what is it preventing me from? How do I want to start showing up? Why that would be better? How that could actually be easier on me? Like, and like really manipulating it. And if you find patterns and you don't know what to do with them, guess what? Take it to Ask Coaches. Just go to the website. Get coached on it. That's why we have that service. We have it there for all of you so that, you know, if you don't want to use the Facebook, if you use the Facebook, you'll get our peers. You'll get everybody that's in the group who's working on the same things. You'll get their tried and true advice. I think our community, hands down, most helpful fucking community out there. I would stack our No BS community, and we're at 12,000 plus members now. I would stack the love, compassion, understanding, fairness, equality, all the things against any community out there. Drama free. So if you want to use them, get it. And if you want to use us coaches because you want like a coach's perspective, get it. That's where you can go. All right. So here's the call to action for this week for everybody participating in the 2 pound takedown. You are going to do your first weigh-in as a thought reveal on this Friday. A thought reveal is really simple. You're going to get on the scale knowing the scale is going to tell you what you naturally think about your data. We call it a thought reveal on purpose. So I want you to get on there and I want you to notice what your brain says. Is it judgmental? Is it non-judgmental? Does it, like, where does it naturally go? Don't be afraid of it. A lot of you are like, well, if I get on the scale, I already know what my brain's going to say. It's going to blah, 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 blah. Okay, good. We want to know that. And here's the thing. We want to be able to practice thinking something different. We don't want to practice avoiding uncomfortable things. Y'all, why are we all overweight? Because we go through life eating when we feel uncomfortable. So the last thing we want to do is use stuff and say like, well, I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that because I want to avoid my uncomfortable feelings. It's like, let's try practicing doing things that we know our brain is going to scream at first and start working on the reprogramming, the retelling of the stories of what's important. Okay, let me get to some questions. Is it possible for hunger to add up over the course of a few days? I'm eating to enough without restricting any foods, but after a few days or weeks of that, I feel uncomfortably hungry and then I eat way past enough. It can build up, but here's the thing. I don't want you thinking that you need to overeat. Probably what's driving the overeat is this idea. Like if you're asking me this question, you probably have a thought in there that says, I shouldn't be this hungry. Like I'm not even restricting food. I shouldn't be hungry. I've been eating to enough. I shouldn't be hungry. For all of you, you're going to have what we call hungry days. All humans have hungry days. There are certain, like maybe you have a day that's way more active than you usually do. 2 to 3 days later, your hunger catches up to you because your body is repairing and offsetting that. It could be hormonal. Like for me, so I have two kinds of days. I have a real hungry day, usually a few days before my period. The first day of my period, I have a very unhungry day. First day of my period, I am so bloated and so crampy that there's no room in the inn. Like it's almost like I feel like I'm pregnant. Like my boobs are super sensitive. I think I just got so many hormones going that it almost gives me slight nausea. So usually on the first day of my period, I plan for a lot of carbs because I know my stomach's not always going to be 100%, but I'm hardly hungry. So I'm eating very light. But I'll have a day before that where it's like I could eat anything that's not nailed down. You just want to be in the habit of listening. There's nothing wrong with hunger. This is what I want all of you to think about as a thought. There's nothing wrong with being hungry. The diet industry really has taught us. So for all of you coming to camp, one of the things we're doing on Friday is we are going to trace back through the past how our food thoughts, our body thoughts and stuff, where they all formulated. How did we get to where we are? So we're not really going to the past to rewrite like some bullshit that's happened to you. We're really going back to the past to rewrite some beliefs that we hang on to around food, our body, and things like that. We're going to do some inner child work, and then we're going to rewrite a lot of the rules, a lot of the things that we've always believed. So I say all that because when it comes to hunger, one of the things that I've noticed is that the diet industry has made hunger like a bad thing. So if you think about it, we have a lot of fear-based thoughts, a lot of scarcity thoughts and stuff around eating of itself. So sometimes what we do is we'll have a day where we're actually hungry and we will have thoughts like, I shouldn't be this hungry. This is a bad thing. Like, we think about hunger as bad. It's intolerable. It's too much for me. I can get too hungry. We have a lot of thoughts like that. None of you can ever get too hungry. That is a thought that you have that sets you up to feel anxious and typically overeat. Even if you went 3 weeks without food on Survivor Island, you wouldn't be too hungry. You would show up to a meal and your stomach would be the same size and you would be hungry and you could eat to enough if you needed to. For thousands of years, people figured out how to be hungry and not die and then eat and move on to hunting again. It wasn't until we had a lot of stuff introduced by the diet industry around hunger and around food that we started having all these weird beliefs about it. Like, our metabolism isn't ruined if we have a day when we're not that hungry. For a lot of us, we've spent so many weeks of our lives overeating that when we have a couple of days, especially in the beginning, like when I first started losing weight, when I paid attention to my hunger, I was eating so much less that it was easy for me to want to think somehow I was going to screw up my metabolism, that I wasn't eating enough. But I didn't think about all the meals that my body stored thousands of calories that are just sitting and waiting to be burned off. So sometimes when you first start, you're not getting that hungry. Your body is immediately going into using stored calories. But our thoughts will be scary about being hungry, or the lack of hunger, or the hunger. So just pay attention that you will have hungry days. You will have days where you're not that hungry. As long as you're listening to your body and honoring your body, over time, it all works out. I'm doing all the things now with this challenge. I've been in total fuck it mode for months before this. What can I tell myself and do to keep this up when the challenge is over? Don't end the challenge. Why would you end it? Like, whatever you're telling yourself, the challenge is not what broke fuck it mode. Everybody, please hear me when I say this. Using a hashtag in the Facebook group and a guide isn't what broke fuck it mode. Here's what broke fuck it mode. Ooh, I bet this will work. Or, ooh, time to get started. Or, ooh, I'm done with this. I'm done acting like this. Every one of those thoughts you could just keep using. The problem, Anonymous, is going to be if you give credit to the challenge for why you're doing things. The reason why we do things comes from our brain, not the shit Corinne puts out. Here's how Corinne knows. I put out no BS, and every day people's lives are changing. Every day people are losing weight, doing things they never believed they could do. I also have people sit there and say, I don't know if I can do this. My life's too hard. I'm too busy. I have some people that can look at the exact same program, be in the exact same program, and let their excuses be good enough to not do. And I have the exact same people in a program who do not let their excuses be a reason why they don't do. The program is not the magic. The magic is what you allow yourself to think about it. So if you're sitting there and doing things, find the thoughts that are creating that momentum for you. What are you telling yourself? What did you tell yourself on day one? What did you tell yourself this morning to get you to do all the things? What are you telling yourself? That, my friends, is what you want to double down on. You want to write those things down. When you are doing stuff. God, all of you do this. When you're doing the work, ask yourself, what am I telling myself to get me to do it? Is that thinking, like, where else can I apply it? On the day it's hard, I need to remember this thought because other thoughts will come up. That's what happens when new circumstances happen, new facts are presented. It's just like when you weigh in, it's real easy to keep momentum going when the scale's going down. All of us can do that, but here's how weight loss works. Scale doesn't always go down. There's not a soul in this membership that will ever lose all their weight and say, I never had a week the scale didn't go down. It like dropped 1 to 2 pounds every single week. Perfection. It's not coming. I've not seen that person yet. So what are you gonna tell yourself when scale doesn't go down? Better be a similar thought to when it does go down. A lot of you, like the scale goes down, you'll sit there thinking it's working. Scale doesn't go down, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I suck. It's not working. When you could just say, this is not my week. What am I going to do this week to keep going? I bet, like, this is the one I used over and over again. I bet next week will be better. So what do I need to do this week to keep my foot on the gas? That's an option. Or we can just tell ourselves bullshit over and over and over again. I got COVID last week and I am on day 9 today. I have lost smell and a lot of my taste. My weight keeps going up and so far I've gained 4 pounds. I'm not planning my food and I'm using food for energy because I'm extremely fatigued. Why not just sleep? If you're that fatigued, you probably just need to sleep instead of eating for energy. Plus, extra food doesn't actually give you energy. Guys, this is like not even true. Lisa. Extra food is actually an energy depleter. So it's probably going to make you more tired if I'm extremely fatigued. I know the answer. Rather than going to sleep because I have COVID or resting because I have COVID, here's what I'll do. I'll eat extra food and I'll make my body work extra hard to store up a bunch of extra calories and add some fat to my body in the hopes that I'll have more energy. Doesn't work that way. I'd get back to planning. This is the funny thing. I can't believe how many people were like, well, if I do get COVID, I wish I could lose my sense of smell and taste because I'd probably lose weight. No, guys, quit. All of you. Like, I remember my grandmother used to say, she just wished she'd get a good stomach bug so she could lose 10 pounds. Like, oh my God. Make sure we understand what we're doing. So, using food for energy, I am only eating fast food. Okay, stop that. Like, you wouldn't even ask me this question if you didn't think it was a good idea. So today, don't eat fast food. Like, this is a real simple one. I got COVID. I'm tired. Extra calories in fast food, not exactly a prescription I think that anybody has ever recommended. If I want to feel better, I should treat myself better. I find it difficult to self-coach. I guess it's because of the brain fog. I don't think it's that. It's because you're not writing. You didn't. If you're not planning, like, guys, creating a plan is self-coaching. If you want to self-coach, all you need to do is look for, like she says, I feel extremely incapable. It's because of the thoughts you have. You need to find your incapable thoughts. Like, lost my smell and taste. What thought do you have about that? I've gained 4 pounds. What thought do you have about that? All of that is the thoughts you want to uncover. Because whatever you have as terms of thoughts about having COVID and being tired, whatever thoughts you have about that is what's creating you to go fast food and not plan. When you feel incapable, of course you will do those things. If I had COVID, here are some of the thoughts I'd be telling myself. This sucks. And that's okay. I don't have to like this. all of those thoughts don't feel amazing, but they also feel grounded. They feel truthful. They feel compassionate. I would also tell myself if I was really tired, that's part of the process. I should get some sleep. You could be thinking this is the perfect opportunity for me to break relying on food to feel better, because food definitely won't make me feel better. Because here's the thing, Lisa, you're eating fast food and you're not planning, but you feel incapable. So it's not making you feel better and it ain't giving you any energy. You're just lying to yourself. You just told lies to yourself, because what you told me is I feel extremely incapable. I'm telling myself I can't self-coach because of brain fog, instead of the reason why I'm not self-coaching is because I don't have a journal out. That's what's like, I haven't used my planner. That's why I'm not able to self-coach. It's not brain fog. I didn't grab a pen. One of my do goals is wake up with the alarm every day this month using the 5-second rule, which is, guys, if you don't know the 5-second rule, it's where you do something and you go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and that resets your brain to get you to go. It's from a book that Mel Robbins wrote. When I don't, I'm doing a discovery worksheet. I haven't gotten up 3 days in a row. So there's a thought. Can you give me some questions to dive a bit deeper? Yeah, like this is, all I would do is tomorrow when you wake up, you need to listen. What is your brain telling you? So a lot of times, like if you don't know it, you can take some guesses. But if you don't know why, like you're, you know, sleeping in or whatever, you just like, you wait for the time that the behavior is happening. And then you ask yourself, what am I thinking in this moment? What am I telling myself right now? So that you're aware of it. Then you can do your discovery worksheet. You can put that on there. Then you can go and debunk it and stuff. You may for a couple more days end up sleeping in, like listening for those thoughts, but at least you'll have some traction going forward. All right, everybody. That's it for today. We are done. Keep on going with your 2-pound takedown. I'll see you in the Facebook groups. I will see you guys Friday night in Facebook if you want to join me for wine and camp talk, 6 p.m. Central Time. And otherwise, I'll see you Sunday for coaching. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.